Take me out of the monitors on stage and fix me good in the house, if you don't mind. I'll be good. I have a word for you today. I have a word for you today. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall stand forever. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. It seems like we've been here for 2 hours. It's just an hour. Yeah, it's good. Good. It seems like it's only an hour. It's good. Amen. We got time. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, would you turn with me to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 11th chapter, and we are going to read the first 11 verses. St. Mark chapter 11, 1 to 11. All right. Why don't we stand and read God's word together? You can look on the screen and we'll read together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the streets, tied at the doorway. As they untie it, some people standing there ask, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus told them, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went outside Bethany at 12. All right, this is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Dale, I'm making a mess of your decorations. Just forgive me. The story is told of a minister who was full of energy and enthusiasm for the Lord. And so one day, he went to the hospital to visit one of his parishioners who was critically ill. The minister entered the room and saw the man lying in bed with a whole lot of host of tubes and wires attached to his body. Without any delay, the minister strode to the bedside and began to exhort the man to be of good cheer. Soon the man became agitated and started waving his arms. Of course, this encouraged the minister, and so he exhorted the man even more enthusiastically. Finally, the minister ended with a rather lengthy prayer. At the final amen, the minister opened his eyes just in time to see the sick man reach for a pad of paper and a pencil. Quickly, he wrote something and handed it to the minister. Then the man turned his head and he died. The minister was deeply moved to think that his visit to this man had occurred in the nick of time. Then he looked at the pad and read these words: "You're standing on my oxygen tube." I want to preach today from the subject, "It's easy to misread people's actions." It's easy to misread people's actions. You got to chuckle out of that. Because not all hand waving is an expression of exuberance. Not all laughter is the laughter of happiness. Not all tears are tears of sorrow. Not all shouting is the shouting of triumph and victory. Sometimes we can misread people's actions, and you got to be careful with that. As you know, today is Palm Sunday, 5 days before Good Friday, the Friday that Jesus died for us on the cross. Palm Sunday is when Jesus enters Jerusalem and the people came out with palm branches, which at that time was a sign of respect and praise that was shown to someone of royalty. They are trying to acknowledge Jesus as king, but their definition of kingship is different from Jesus' definition of kingship. They had misread his actions, thinking that Jesus was coming to establish a political kingdom, but Jesus' plans were never to establish a political kingdom. Sometimes you can misread people's actions. And so as we look at the scriptures we've just read this morning pertaining to Holy Week, there are many different topics that we could examine this morning by way of a sermon. Now, I've been preaching for 15 years and I've preached on this passage of scripture before from different angles. We could talk about the parade. There was a parade from Bethpage and Bethany into Jerusalem. We can talk about not everybody who is in the crowd is for you. We could talk about the purpose of Jesus going to Jerusalem. We could talk about the expectations of the people pertaining to Jesus, who he was and what they had hoped he would accomplish. We could talk about the crowd that was gathered, but we're not going to talk about that today. We can talk about the road to Jerusalem and how that road would end for Jesus, but we're not going to talk about that today. We could talk about the owners of the donkey, but we talked about them 3 years ago, so we're not going to talk about them today either. We could talk about Jesus riding on the donkey versus strutting into Jerusalem on a horse, but we're not going to talk about that today either. Today, we're going to talk about a donkey because I believe there are some very important lessons that we can learn from an ass. Palm Sunday stands as that day of the church year on which the potential for misreading one's actions is most clearly evident. And if you hang around the church long enough, you will see and discover the potential for misreading someone's actions is always lurking in the background. I wish I had somebody who knew what I was talking about today. The potential for, in our text, the potential for misreading the disciples sent to this unbroken donkey is there because they, as they made their way to the city, the owners of the donkey could have misread their actions to be stealing the donkey. But when the disciples are questioned as to why they were untying the donkey, they simply responded by whose power and whose authority they were untying the donkey with. And therefore, the discussion came to an end. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the text. The potential for misreading the owners of the donkey is there. The potential for misreading the donkey itself is there. The potential for misreading the crowd that followed. And a week later, one on Sunday shouted Hosanna, but some of the same folks in the crowd on Friday shouted, "Crucify him." Potential for misreading the crowd is there. And even when we get to the end of the text in John's gospel, the disciples are shouting, and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Why are these shouting? Tell them to stop." And Jesus says, "If they stop shouting, the rocks will cry out." I wish somebody in the church knew how to shout. I don't know how you can be in the presence of Jesus and can't say nothing. I'm building my case, so just work with me. So upon looking at these various scenarios, it is easy to misread people's actions, like the pastor standing on the man's oxygen tube, thinking that he was ushering him to heaven, and it was a good thing, not knowing he was suffocating the man. Point number one this morning, I want to point out some things to you because I believe that in this story, there are some very important lessons that we can learn some things from today as we study the donkey. And you're going to say to yourself, "I don't believe that Pastor Sion is going to preach on a donkey on Palm Sunday." But you can learn a lot from a donkey, even if how not to be. It's quiet in here. I'm going to take my time, so work with me, okay? You with me? All right. This donkey, we have read in our text, was set apart. Am I right, Nolan? This donkey was set apart for a special purpose, for a special mission. This donkey had a special calling on its life. Am I right? All right. This donkey was tied up. Am I not right? Did the donkey know that it was set aside for a special purpose, mission, and calling? It didn't know that. Could it be that while this donkey was called, Cheryl, for a special purpose, mission, and calling, even though it was called, it was still tied up? It was still not free to do what it was called to do. Are you with me? All right. I'm going to build a case for you now. Now, do you think that there were other animals running around in the yard where the donkey that was tied up could see other donkeys and other animals roaming freely? If this is the case, and this donkey could see other donkeys or other animals roaming freely, wouldn't you conclude that there is a potential for this donkey to feel rejected, being tied up, versus those that are being freed to roam. Can we build a case there? All right. So it's not difficult to comprehend that this donkey might or may have been feeling rejected when in fact it was on reservation. Sometimes God's children have been called, have been set aside for a very special purpose, for a very special mission, for a season. But sometimes that information is not revealed to us, and we begin to feel as though God has somehow forsaken us. We are rejected, not worthy, not having any vision, no sense of purpose. While we're feeling rejected, not understanding that we have been on reservation. And there's some people today that are on reservation, but they're feeling rejected. I came by to tell you, from the perspective of a donkey, he could have misread his master's actions. But little did he know that he was on reservation and not rejection. There are some of us that God has set aside. But even though we have a calling, Ron, even though we've got a special purpose and a special mission, we are tied up. There's so many people who are not fulfilling their purpose, their mission, and their calling because they're tied up. For the donkey, it was a rope around its neck tied to a doorpost. But for many Christians, we are not achieving our full potential because we're tied up with a bad attitude. We're tied up with unforgiveness. We're tied up in rejection, and we're tied up with hate. Some of us can't go too far because we're tied up in addictions. Hallelujah, somebody. Some of us, we go 3 feet. And when we think that we can go 5 feet, the rope pulls us back. And we're reminded that we're tied up. But I want you to stay close to me today because Jesus wants this donkey free. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But I just want you to stay with me for just a little while. Anything that has you tied up controls you. Anything that has its grip around your neck controls you. So if you're not free today, you ought to look at your life and say, what has its grip around my neck? And if you want to be free, you've got to be ready and available that when the rope comes off, you can be free. Now, Jesus wants this donkey free. Keep that in mind. Anything that ties you up controls you. I want you to know today, it is not Jesus' desire for this donkey to remain tied up. And it's not his desire for you to remain tied up. Now, I begin to just use my imagination, Clyde, having come from Guyana and see how donkeys are allowed to roam. It was not customary in our culture to have donkeys tied up. In fact, there were many tame donkeys that would just roam the streets and the roads. In fact, as little kids, the donkeys and the horses used to go to the cemetery to graze. And as boys, we would go into the cemetery. We would catch one of them and ride them up and down, just having fun all day. We didn't have Nintendo and PlayStations. That was our fun. Right? And then when you fell off and you came home bruised, you got a beating on top of that. We find that this particular donkey is tied up. This donkey has mobility, but it doesn't have freedom. Some have settled for mobility when in fact God wants them to be free. You can get so used to the rope being tied around your neck, and every time you try to go more than the rope would allow you, there would be a jerk in your actions and in your motion that will let you know that you are tied, you are trapped. And sometimes we can get so used to the pain that we think that living like this is normal. So that when we experience freedom, we don't understand what that is. And we see that as abnormal versus it being normal. This was a young donkey, but it was still tied up. Bondage can find you in whatever stage of life you find yourself in. Young people, you can have baggage and be in bondage as well. So your youth does not excuse you from experiencing the pain of being tied up. This donkey had value, but it was still tied up. Being tied up will keep you below your value and below your potential. And I want to say to you today that if you want to rise above the value of being tied up, you've got to have a mindset to free yourself. And when you do become free, be willing to move on and advance your life. This donkey was confined to a particular area, Clyde, but it was not restricted. It could move around even though it was tied up. And sometimes we settle for confinement because it's not complete restriction. But I think if God is who he says he is, we ought not settle for anything that keeps us below our value and keeps us below our potential. We ought to aim for the moon. And if you can't get the moon, grab a couple of shining stars on the way down. I am tired of seeing God's children settle for less than God has for them. God has more for you, and it's your responsibility to rise above what's tying you up. Now, this donkey was on reservation and not rejection. So many of us sometimes do not understand what God is doing in our lives. And when we have lived in want and we have lived in need, and God does not answer when we think he should answer, we conclude that we are being rejected, and we take on the victim mentality, not fully understanding that God's got us on reservation for a particular season, Carmen, for a particular purpose, and for a particular time. And if we would conclude that we are God's children, then we ought to keep holding on to God's unchanging hands, no matter how many storms rise, no matter how many winds blow, no matter what difficulties we encounter, no matter what the circumstances are. If God is God and we declare that we are his children, then we must conclude that whatever is taking place in our lives is not unknown to him. And because he knows everything about me before I was born, then I ought not to frown and fret about my particular predicament, because all things are in his hands. This donkey's assignment, this donkey's purpose was important, but it was temporary, Dana. Now listen to this. This donkey was to take Jesus from Bethpage and Bethany to Jerusalem. There was a time when this donkey's mission was to start. You gotta know when it's time to start your ministry. But this donkey's purpose was not to die on the cross with Jesus. When Jesus got to Jerusalem, the donkey's mission, calling, and purpose was finished. Not only do you have to know when to start your ministry, you got to know when to end your ministry, because not everything is forever. And there's some people who want to get started but never will get started because they don't know when to start. And there's some folks that holding on that need to let go. You got to know when to start your ministry and when to end your ministry. And you can't be bitter when your ministry ends. When your time has come, it's come. You got to know when to move on. Now, if an experienced donkey can take Jesus to Jerusalem, and in taking Jesus to Jerusalem, what the donkey did, the donkey took Jesus to the people. He left Bethany and Bethpage and went to Jerusalem on the donkey. And Jesus went to where the people were. He went to the temple. If a donkey who don't have no common sense, haven't been saved, sanctified, and redeemed, can take Jesus to the people, why can't the saved, sanctified folk filled with the Holy Ghost take Jesus to the people? And if you will conclude that you are a child of God, but you're not actively engaged in taking Jesus to the people, you're not fulfilling your calling, your mission, or your purpose. Somebody ought to take Jesus to the people. Number two. I begin to just dig this thing. This is just how my brain works. My wife will tell you I started preparing the message earlier in the week, and I didn't like where it was going, and shut it down twice and redid it all. Yes, spent all day yesterday just redoing the message. Just they left the house. I don't know. Buddy was gone at 7. Debbie was gone about 9. And they came back at 4 o'clock and I was still typing away. But I wanted to give you a word that can make a difference in your life tomorrow morning and Thursday morning. Point number two. Not only was this donkey separated, this donkey was sequestered. By that mean, it was taken possession of for a period of time. Listen to this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go to the village." This tells me, number one, that Jesus is still looking for obedient disciples that are willing to go. I wish you knew when to shout. He told them to go to the village. This tells me that Jesus knew the right location of the donkey. Jesus also said to them, just as you enter, he knew the right time to find the donkey. I want you to know today that your circumstances may seem delayed, but the timing of Jesus is impeccable. He is always on time. And when you think the timing is off, his timing is just perfect. He said to them, "You will find a colt." He knew exactly the right object to look for. If Jesus is going to fulfill his mission purpose, he needs people who are with the right mindset, right attitude, and available to fulfill his purpose. He knew the right object. Jesus also said, no one has ever ridden this donkey, and he knew the state of the donkey. I get happy on this, Joseph, because I was thinking to myself, if God knows so much about a donkey that Jesus hadn't died for, how much more would he know about me, whom he came to redeem by the blood of his lamb? I got to start getting happy in myself as I'm preparing the message, because I think if God could spend that time knowing so much about a donkey, how much more would he care and know about you and me and all of us together? And I have to conclude that he knows all things, so I ought not to worry. Then I notice in the text that Jesus says, if anyone asks you. And I begin to say to myself, Eleanor, now why would he say that? What he was doing, not only did he send the disciples genes to seal, but he prepared them in advance for opposition. So many of us want to start our ministry and we want to serve Jesus, but we're not prepared for opposition. And so we start out excited and exuberant, but when we run into Sister So-and-so who looks at us the wrong way after service on Sunday morning, or when she blocks us in and we can't get out of the parking lot, we start cussing before we leave the church, we're not prepared for opposition. Now, the only way you can deal with opposition is this. Jesus says, if anyone asks you, don't give them a piece of your mind. Don't tell them off. But tell them, by whose authority do you release the donkey? And if we are trying to do ministry in our own strength and in our own power and with our own ideologies, we will always fail. But I tell you, when you stand up and you say, I come in the name of Jesus, I come to tell you that no devil in hell will stop me from moving forward and doing what God has called me to do, because he who is beginning a great work in me shall complete it to the end. I come in the authority of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the power of Jesus. I come in the grace of Jesus. I come in the love of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He prepared his disciples in the event that their actions would be misread, meaning stealing the donkey. Now, as a Christian, you cannot be stealing things and say, Jesus sent you to do that. That's not biblical. Jesus will never ask you to steal nothing. Okay? Sometimes, obedience in Jesus might appear that you are committing an illegal activity. But when you declare whose authority you are operating under, that potential illegal activity no longer appears to be illegal. Now, Jesus, he knew everything there was to know about this donkey. And so I said, if he could know everything he needs to know about a donkey and its location, then I have to conclude, Margaret, that where I am today, he knows my location. I have to conclude that the time period that I'm in, he knows what time I'm in as well. I don't have to worry about the biological clock ticking, because if he knows the time where to find the donkey, he knows everything that's going on with you and me. He knew the right object to look for. And Jesus doesn't make mistakes. If he knows what to look for in a donkey, he knows what to look for in you and me. He knows the right condition of the object. This got me excited, Audrey, because some people often say, well, you know, you got so much issues in your life, and you've been here and you've been there, but Jesus knew the right condition. And so he's not looking for perfection, but he's looking for availability. He's not looking for abilities, but availability. And no matter what condition you're in, maybe you used to be a drunkard, maybe a womanizer, maybe you used to be an addict, maybe you used to do things that would make people's hair stand up, but whatever your situation was, God looks not at you for what you are, but what you can accomplish and what you will accomplish for him. The enemy looks at your past and what you're not, but God only sees you for what you can become. So I want to tell you to move on and allow God to use you. When we look at the text, point number three, we notice that this donkey, not only was it set apart, not only was it sequestered, but this donkey was surrendered. Oh, I wish we had some surrendered folks in the house this morning. this donkey was surrendered. If this donkey is going to fulfill its purpose and mission, it has to be released. You didn't hear me. If the donkey is going to fulfill its mission in taking Jesus to Jerusalem, it has to be released. If you are going to fulfill your mission, your purpose, and your calling, you have to be released. The donkey did not have any power in itself to untie itself. And so sometimes, Joseph, we need somebody to come along and help us to get free. I wish you ought to shout right now. Sometimes we just can't do it on our own. We need somebody, Carmen, to walk with us, somebody to talk with us, somebody to encourage us, somebody to give us a hand up and not a hand out, somebody to help us along the way. And if we help each other, we can all make the journey. The donkey has to be released, but it can't release itself. Somebody's got to release the donkey. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, what triggers release? What triggers release? Release is triggered by the message that the Lord needs it. Release is triggered by the message the Lord needs it. I want to tell you today that when God is getting ready to use you, no devil in hell can keep you bound. When God is getting ready to call you, no devil in hell can keep you tied up. When God is getting ready to use you, those who have you under their control have got to release you. Addiction has got to release you. Alcohol has got to release you. Pornography has got to release you. Bad attitude has got to release you. Unforgiveness has got to release you. When God is calling you, it's got to be released. Whatever is in bondage or tied up cannot free itself. But when the word of God comes that Jesus is ready for it, it has to be released. This is good news for us today, because no matter how tied up you are, when Jesus is ready to release you, when Jesus is ready for you to get into his service, you've got to be released. When Jesus is ready, your boss has to release you. When Jesus is ready, sickness has to release you. When Jesus is ready, diseases has got to release you. When Jesus is ready, the church has to release you. When Jesus is ready, the landlord's got to release you. When Jesus is ready for you, the husband has got to release you. When Jesus is ready, your wife has got to release you. You release me and let me go. I've got to go fulfill my mission, my purpose, and my calling. Take this rope off my neck. And you would have thought that once the donkey was freed, it would have just taken off and gone running to be freed. But the donkey remained under surrender to the disciples. The disciples took the donkey to Jesus, and the donkey surrendered also to Jesus. What God is looking for is not folks that want to run wild, but surrendered folks who can come under the authority of Jesus, under the word of God. He is looking for people who are willing to submit themselves to the word of God. And I began to think to myself, if the donkey can obey God's word, thank you, Jesus, would you help me preach this? If a donkey that Jesus hadn't died for could obey his word and be surrendered to his word, how much more should the children of God surrender and submit themselves to the voice and the word of God? Oh, glory, hallelujah. You didn't think there was so much to be learned from a donkey, did you? This donkey surrendered to its owners while it was tied up. But under those situations, it didn't have a choice. you would think that once the rope was released, it would just bolt. If that was me, I was gone, like the wind, running to nowhere, but just gone. This donkey was, Joseph, you can turn me up. This donkey was surrendered, not only to its masters, but when it became free, it surrendered to the disciples. It surrendered to Jesus. The story is told of a missionary who had gone to a different country, and he was given a car. And for some reason, this car wouldn't start, and so it was one of those cars where you had to crank it. So this is an old story, because some of the young people don't even understand. Remember those cars way back in the day? You put that bar in the front and you crank that baby over. All right? We've lost half of our young people. I won't even tell you what year that was. You remember those cars? Yeah, you have to crank them. You remember those ones? Oh, man. So anyway, this car wouldn't start. Huh? They just, Ron said he still got one. And this car wouldn't start. And the missionary would park on a hill or someplace, some kind of a standard configuration where when he wanted to go, he would either let the car roll and he would bring the clutch up and start it. And 2 years had passed, he'd gotten ill, and someone else was taking over the car. And so the gentleman, the missionary that was retiring, simply expressed to the new missionary how the car works. The new missionary just got under the hood and started fiddling with some wires, and of course he discovered that the battery terminal was loose. So while they were speaking, he was able to get the car going. The power was there, but it just wasn't connected. I want to say to you, when God decides to call you, the power is there, but it's your responsibility to get connected. And that missionary could have saved himself 2 years of pushing and shoving if he had just gotten connected to the power source. Now, I'm coming to a close. This donkey, not only was it set apart, not only was it sequestered, not only was it surrendered, but this donkey was submissive. Every time you put the word sub in front of anything, people get nervous. You'll get that next week. Anytime you put the word sub in front of anything, people get nervous. You start talking to a woman about submit, and there's a whole lot of different conversation going on, right? You put sub in front of everything, and then I can give lots of examples, but I'm not going to go down that road. I want to get you out of here by 12:30. Yeah. This donkey submitted to the commands of Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever ridden a donkey. How many of you have ever ridden a donkey? All right. Cheryl, you rode a donkey? Wow, you must be some cowgirl. Who else has ridden a donkey in here? Fred's ridden a donkey? Fred's never ridden a donkey. All right, okay. How, when you were riding a donkey or a horse, now listen to this, because now you got to get into the text now. Here is an unbroken-in donkey. Have you ever ridden an unbroken-in horse or donkey? You're looking for a lot of broken bones, right? Right, James? Okay. Jesus gets onto an unbroken-in donkey, and the donkey responds to the commands of Jesus. Not only was it just verbal commands like ho 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 or hold up, I don't know what Jesus would have said, but it would involve taking the reins and pulling it to the left or to the right, wouldn't it be? All right. And so what I see in the text is that the donkey had to be sensitive to the voice of Jesus, but also, Sister Brenda, to the touch of Jesus. And if you want to be used by God, you've got to be able to decipher his voice from all of the other voices around. You've got to know when you've been touched by Jesus and not touched by somebody else. Because there's a lot of folk being touched and think that Jesus is touching them, but somebody else is touching them. You got to know who's touching you and who's talking to you. The other thing I want to tell you, Patricia, God, Jesus, never uses anything that is not broken. The donkey was unbroken, but once Jesus sat on it, it was now broken. And Jesus does not use anything that's not broken. So I want to say to you, whatever way you are broken, in whatever shape, in whatever fashion, don't let your brokenness disqualify you from being used by Jesus, but let your brokenness be an opportunity for you to be used by Jesus, if only you would allow him to come on you. And so the donkey allowed Jesus to sit upon him, to come on him. And when Jesus is on you, he's all over me. He's wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. He's all over me. And when Jesus is on you, and when he's leading you, and when he's talking to you, and when he's touching you, you've got to get from Bethpage to Jerusalem. You can't stray. You can't fall off the wagon. You can't detour. The reason we end up detouring is because Jesus is not with us. He's not on us. And we're not sensitive to his voice nor his touch. And we go our own way. So this donkey was submissive to supporting the weight and the cause of Jesus. Let me fix this real good. Some people think that because Jesus calls them into ministry and there's a calling and there's a purpose, that somehow life is supposed to be easy. This donkey was fulfilling the purposes of Jesus, but this donkey was under pressure. The donkey was fulfilling the purposes of Jesus, Clyde, but that donkey was under pressure. And if you're going to be used by God, you've got to be prepared to bear some pressure. You got to be prepared to experience a little bit of pain, to bear some heavy loads and carry some burdens. But if Jesus is riding you, and if he's leading you, and if he's directing you, he will not give you more than you can bear, because when the burden gets too heavy, he could always get off. This donkey submitted to fulfill the role, even though it was temporary. I talked to you about that earlier. You got to know when your part is over. You've got to know when your mission is complete. You've got to know when your ministry is complete. You've got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. You got to know when it's done. Some people are holding on when they should be releasing it and go. And because they're still holding on, they can't fulfill the next level of ministry in their lives, and they're blocking the door for somebody else to come in. If the donkey had tried to go to the cross with Jesus, would have made a mess of things, wouldn't it? Trying to nail a donkey to a cross, couldn't do it. So I want to say to you, you got to know when your season has come to an end. This donkey was unbroken when it came to Jesus. But once Jesus sat on it, it was now broken. Jesus, like I said before, does not use anything that's not broken. So no matter what stage of life you find yourself in, don't let it be a disqualification for being used by Jesus, but see it as an opportunity. And the reason I want you to see it as an opportunity is because the Bible that I read tells me that Jesus specializes in fixing broken things. My Bible tells me that Jesus specializes in fixing broken homes. I wish I had a witness this morning. My Bible tells me that Jesus specializes in fixing broken marriages. I wish somebody would shout, Jesus specializes in fixing broken husbands. And Jesus specializes, don't get too happy, Cheryl, specializes in fixing broken wives. And Jesus specializes in fixing broken churches. Jesus specializes in fixing broken hearts. And Jesus specializes, Audrey, in fixing broken children. He specializes in fixing broken men. And he specializes in fixing broken women. He specializes in fixing broken finances. And he specializes in fixing broken attitude. He specializes in fixing broken mindset. Yes, and if you let Jesus break you this morning, he will break you so he can use you. He will break you so he can fix you. He will break you so he can get the glory in all that he said and does. This donkey was willing to submit to the pressure, to submit to the weight, to submit to the load, to submit to the brokenness of the ministry that Jesus placed upon it. The pressures sometimes can get to you. The weight sometimes can get to you. The load sometimes can get to you. The burden sometimes can get to you, but be like this donkey. Take Jesus at his name, take him at his word, because when the burden gets heavy, my Bible tells me that he'll be a burden bearer. When the load gets heavy, he'll help you carry your load. Take his name to the people. Even though the donkey was under pressure, he still took Jesus to the people. Take his love to the people. Take his name to the people. Take his presence to the people. Take his grace to the people. Take his power to the people. Take his ways to the people. Just take somebody to Jesus, because Jesus says, whosoever will, let them come. He said in his word, for God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bring somebody to Jesus. Jesus is looking for men and women. He wants sinners to come to repentance. He wants the broken hearts to find healing. He wants the sick to be healed. He wants the eyes of the blind to be opened. He wants the lame to walk. Bring somebody to Jesus. Somebody this morning needs a touch. Somebody needs to be ridden. Somebody needs to be broken in. I don't know what your situation might be, but whatever your circumstances are, give God an opportunity to do something that he's never done before. There has to be a change. Somebody has to get released this morning. God is looking to release somebody. I don't know who you are, but if you need to be released, you need to find yourself at this altar so God can release you and set you free and call you and use you to fulfill his purpose and his mission and his will for your life. Sometimes it's easy to misread people's actions. What may have seemed like rejection for the donkey was only reservation. Where you are today might seem like you've been rejected, but could it be that God's got you on reservation for a specific time and a purpose? Why not let him use you today? Let him start using you today. Twyla, if you would come to the piano and the altar ministry team would just join us here this morning. I want you to know that sometimes it's easy to misread people's actions. But if God is your God, you could be on reservation and not rejection. You don't know what God is doing in your life. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. And he can use me. And he can use all of us. Be careful not to misread people's actions. the altars of the church are open. Ed Twyla is not here, so would you come to the piano, please? Oh, there's Pat too. All right. All right, we'll give Ed a chance. He's got it. Yeah. You want to play the bass? That'll be good. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't think there was so much to be learned from a donkey. But when you study the text, there's much that we can learn from a donkey. Be set apart. Be sequestered. Be surrendered. Be submissive to anything that Jesus wants to do in your life. Anything. The doors of the church are open today. There may be someone here today that does not know the Lord as their Savior. I want to extend an invitation to you to come to know Him today as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you may have some other challenges as well. We want to pray for you for those challenges as well. Maybe you might be feeling rejected, abandoned, overlooked, feeling that you've got too much brokenness for God to use you. Would you give God an opportunity today to use you? Would you give Him an opportunity to heal you, to repair you? Would you give Him an opportunity to do a great work in your life today? The altars are open this morning. The doors of the church are open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Cheryl, would you got an altar song that we can sing? Play along with it? I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. The altars of the door, the church, the altars are open. The doors of the church are open. Would you give God this opportunity to restore you, to renew you, to do something different in you today? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you give God an opportunity? This is your moment. To be reconnected, to be reconciled, to be renewed, re-strengthened, revitalized. Would you give Him an opportunity? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. To the highest mountain. Well, flows to the lowest valley. Well, now the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Its power, oh glory to your name. It reaches to the highest mountain. Well, to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm.
from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. I can face tomorrow.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to tell you that you are not alone. God loves you, and God gave his only son because of your sins and my sins. And I believe that he doesn't want you to go alone, like through your problems and everything that comes in your life. Just believe that he's with you. You can't do anything alone. You have to hold his hand, and you have to hold it and hold it tight. Don't let him go. You can't do anything alone. You can't do it. And I believe that he's the Savior and he's the salvation for all of us. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command that all the cancers that are in this place go out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command that all spirit of heaviness go out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command that any spirit of wickedness that come to my mind out in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe all the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe of the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of his grace, Father. I believe that you can save me from anything that comes against me, Father. Anything. You give us the power to defeat that everything that comes our way, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that all the tumors, all the cancer, all the sickness, all the weakness that can always go out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father. I command, I invoke today the blood of the name of Jesus that cover my family, Father. Cover my life, my children, my descendants. And give us freedom, Father. Freedom to defeat anything. In the name of Jesus, you are not alone, brothers and sisters. You are not alone. You will never be alone. Amen.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
You are released.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of